Well, today we will start with Daniel chapter 1. And last week, as we went over the overview of the book, the author of that overview mentioned that Daniel chapter 1, namely, but the whole book, but definitely Daniel chapter 1, how it starts out, was fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. And so I thought that today we would start with that. So we would get the prophecy that Isaiah tells King Hezekiah, and then that leads right into Daniel chapter 1, which is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Okay. Kaufman wrote an introductory, and now this is this prophecy is found in Isaiah chapter 39. And it's 8 verses, and I'll end up reading this, but first I'm going to read the paragraph that Kaufman wrote about this paragraph, about this chapter of Isaiah 39 and about this prophecy that Israelite descendants will be serving the Babylonian king, and that all of these articles will be taken from the Jerusalem, from the holding place there in Jerusalem that the king had, and taken over, and the king would have all of this, which all of this comes out in Daniel chapter 1. Okay, Kaufman begins here with, "Here we have the conclusion of the historical section relating Hezekiah's vanity in the display of his wealth to the Babylonian king's ambassadors. This is the Lord's rebuke through Isaiah and the predictive prophecy that Babylon would be the power that would capture Jerusalem, loot the city of Jerusalem, and deport the royal family to Babylon. The short chapter ends with the submissive resignation of Hezekiah to the fate of his beloved city of Jerusalem, and the personal rejoicing that he would not live to see the disastrous prophecy fulfilled. Also, he found great comfort in the assured time lapse before the promised fulfillment of it." So, and we'll see that this all comes in the last verse here. To me, Hezekiah comes off as very selfish and self-centered here, and not caring anything about the future generations. So we'll read Isaiah chapter 39, beginning in verse 1. "At the time of Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, who was the king of Babylon, he sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and had recovered." And so he sent it. Babylon did not come himself. And so Kaufman said that he sent his ambassadors. And verse 2, "And Hezekiah, who is the king of Jerusalem, was pleased with them and showed them the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them." And this is in the book of Daniel, this is relayed as the articles. And then this comes up on the night that Babylon falls, because they have this big party, which probably a pretty bad party is what we'd probably think of today. Not like what we would think about as a normal banquet, but they brought those articles, those drinking goblets and the silver and gold plates and utensils and whatnot, and they were using all of this. And that's when God, with his finger, wrote on the wall to let them know, and Daniel read this to them, because they couldn't read in Hebrew, that tonight your kingdom has just fallen. You don't even realize it, and your kingdom's already fallen. And then the Medo-Persians were at their door. So that's with these articles here, but this is all predicting, prophesying of what was to come. Okay, verse 3. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say, and from where did they come to you?" So Hezekiah said, "They came to me from a far country, from Babylon." And he said, "What have they seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." This was a grave mistake. God did not like this at all. Verse 5. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord." Now, verse 7. This pertains specifically to Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and others. These were not the only four Israelites, but other Israelite adolescents. This verse 7. "And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." And this is all fulfilled in Daniel chapter 1. And now verse 8. "So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, 'The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good.'" There wasn't one good thing here. God is telling through Isaiah that Babylon is going to be ransacked, taken over, and your descendants are going to be taken as slaves. And then here Hezekiah says, "Oh, this is good." And here's his reasoning. "For King Hezekiah said, 'At least there will be peace and truth in my days.'" How selfish is that to say, "Well, at least it's not going to be in my time. I'm not going to have to go through this difficult hardship. It'll just be descendants of mine and of the Israelites in the future. Who cares about them? I don't." I don't know. This is showing his self-centered heart, which is quite telling here. And this is not so much different from our modern day society, because we have various unsustainable social programs that, as long as people are getting the government payments today, even though we've been told for generations, you know, for decades, that these social programs are unsustainable and they're going to collapse. And we don't have the money to keep funding it. But guess what? The people keep demanding, "Well, I want my money now." Yes, we're going to run out in the future, but we do not care about our future children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We'll let it collapse on them. I want my money now. So, you know, this is very bad behavior by King Hezekiah, but guess what? The same behavior is repeated over. And what is the old proverb? If you don't learn your history, then you are doomed to repeat it. And this is another example of this selfishness that is putting hardship and dooming future generations, and then the modern generation being so callous, not even caring about it. The next thing that I thought we would cover is there's a what I feel like is a somewhat of a parallel verse, a parallel statement about Daniel that is also found in Ezra and about Ezra. And so I want to look at that next. Ezra 7:10 is the verse, and Daniel 1:8 is this parallel verse, but we'll look at that secondly. But Ezra 7:10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and thirdly, to teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel. So Ezra had done three things. He prepared his heart to seek the law, that is, learn. So he studied the law and he learned the law of the Lord through diligent time-filled study. He worked and worked because he was going to learn what God's law was. And then, number two, he purposed and prepared in his heart that he will do it, that he will live by this law. And then the third thing, since he has learned it and now he's living it, he's going to teach it to the Israelites. So, let's look now at Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank, which the king drank. So, just as Ezra purposed or prepared his heart to learn what God's law was, live righteously, and then teach others, let's compare that now with Daniel. Right here, Daniel had already learned the law of God. He'd already been taught the law of God, obviously by his parents, as we talked about last week, because Daniel is an adolescent here. And so he's our, this first part that was in Ezra 7:10, Daniel's already done. And so now he's working on the second part that Ezra 7:10 talked about, doing it, living the law, being obedient to the law. And so that's what Daniel's doing here. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He had already learned the law. He knew that it was wrong to defile himself with these unclean foods and foods that have been sacrificed to idols, and drink this wine, which it was against God's law. And so he's deciding, he purposed in his heart that he was going to follow God's law. And then, now, here in at the end of chapter 2, Daniel becomes the administrator over the wise men. So now he's the teacher, the organizer. He's the one that determines what these wise men are going to be being taught. And so that's the third part of Ezra 7:10 that then Ezra purposed in his heart that he would then teach the Israelites. Well, then Daniel did not obviously sit on these things that he knew, these righteous teachings, and then he passed this on, these righteous teachings, to these wise men as he was the administrator over what these wise men would be taught. So I thought that was a good thought to bring up of a parallel of Ezra and now Daniel. Any questions or comments on this? I thought that I would just go over a brief overview of what this Daniel chapter 1 is, and then after we sing, we'll cover as much of the book as we get to. But how this starts out, Daniel and these three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which are given the... That is the three friends' Babylonian names, as we covered last week in this overview. But they're introduced by their Hebrew names that, for some reason, never did stick. But it's Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But they are brought in to be trained to end up serving in the king's court. So here these are adolescents. They have to go through this training course, which is going to be for 3 years. And then the best and the brightest out of this group. And so there's a group of Israelites, and I'm confident that there's also Chaldean, Babylonian adolescents that are brought in, and whoever, whatever other countries or empires, kingdoms that Babylon has attacked or taken over, they brought their adolescents in. So I'm confident this is a mixed group of all kind of nationalities and whatnot that are in here, and they're going to take the best and the brightest of these, and they will be transferred and serve in the king's court. Well, everything is going fine until it came time for the meal. And they started serving Daniel and the three friends unclean meat. These are foods that were not kosher. They were sacrificed to idols, wine, and Daniel and his three friends could not partake of any of this and remain righteous. Now, these four were not the only Israelite children that were here, but they are the only ones mentioned that rebuked, gave a kickback on and said anything about, well, we cannot eat these foods and drink this wine. So obviously, by not mentioning it, all of the other Israelite adolescents just ate the food that was put before them and drank the wine that was put before them and went right on. But Daniel and his three friends stood strong, and they wanted to remain godly and righteous. So now there's a little predicament. Well, what do we do? Well, Daniel was very smart and a quick thinker, and he goes to the administrator, the man that's over them, and said, he gives them an accommodation. And he said, instead of eating these unclean meats and drinking this wine that it is ungodly for us to do, just give us vegetables. We will be vegetarians and we will drink water. And we will do just fine. Well, now the administrator man, he wasn't so sure of that. He thought, oh, if you're only eating vegetables and you're not getting any meat, well, you're just going to shrivel up. And then the king will come after me because you are the prized possession here. You're like the prized show calf. And he's expecting me to take well care of you. And if you are losing weight and emaciating away, then the king's going to kill me because I'm not taking good care of you as he has put me in charge of. And so then Daniel comes up with another good accommodation, saying, well, let's try this for 10 days. We'll have a 10-day trial period and let's see how it goes. And so the administrator thought, okay, well, we can do this for 10 days. And then if it doesn't work, we'll do something differently. He's probably thinking, then you're going to eat these unclean meats. But Daniel and the three friends never were going to eat these meats. I guess at that point, if they were emaciated and had lost weight and not doing so well on a vegetarian diet, then the only other thing was, I guess they'd had to have kicked Daniel and his three friends out of the program is what my thought is, or what would have happened. But that never happened because Daniel and his three friends gained more weight and looked better and plumper than any of the other students out here that were eating the unclean meat and the idolatry meat and drinking the wine. And so they did much better. And so that was the end of this first problem that came up on Daniel and his three friends' lives. And so then, after the three-year time frame, Daniel and his three friends are head and shoulders, well, even more than that, they are 10 times better whenever they are tested on what they have learned over the last 3 years, they are 10 times better than any of the other students that they've been studying with. And as a result, they are chosen to be put in the king's court, which fulfills this prophecy that God said through Isaiah to King Hezekiah, that your descendants will serve the king of Babylon in his courtyard. Any questions or comments on this?